I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, if you're a long-time listener of ET Yoga, I think you won't be disappointed with the amount of information coming your way in the next hour. We're going to be focusing on three main areas: full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And probably a few offshoots from that will lead into some other topics as well. But before we get into all that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner, by having a little bit of japa yoga, or mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. And if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om. Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Hari
Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari
Hari Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om,
Hari
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And a little bit further information about the Om sound, a little bit more to it than meets the eye, as Om is the first and foremost of all mantras, and Om is the sound of cosmic energy and contains all the sounds in itself. The spiritual efficacy of Om is heard not by the ears, but by the heart. It surcharges the innermost being of a person with vibrations of the highest reality. And all galaxies, including ours, are rotating, and the sound they make is Om. The Anuswaram, or the nasal sound or that humming, boosts the production of nitric oxide in the body as well. And this was known to Indians and documented more than about 7,000 years ago. And Om also opens up quantum tunneling, where the wormholes do not have a restriction of speed of light. The sounds of this universe are contained in energy, frequency, and vibration. And if you make the sound of Om in front of a drop of liquid, it will transform itself into a Sri Yantra, which is a very specific visual form, which is symmetrical and also holographic, in that every bit of it contains all of it. The Sri Yantra was revealed to Maharishis with 12-strand DNA and king-size pineal glands more than 8,000 BC. And Sanskrit mantras have precise golden ratio of 1.618 sound harmonics. So a little bit more than meets the eye when you do the Hari Om mantra repetition. And at the end of the program, I also share another technique from Sri Ramana Maharshi, the Who Am I technique. And according to Sri Ramana Maharshi, for the subsidence of the mind, there's no other means more effective than self-inquiry. This is the direct method. All other methods are practiced while retaining the ego. Self-inquiry leads directly to self-realization by removing the obstacles which make you think that the self is not already realized. Meditation requires an object to meditate on, whereas in self-inquiry, there is only the subject and no object. This is the difference between them. Asked why should self-inquiry alone be considered the direct path to realization? And Sri Ramana stated, because every kind of path except self-inquiry presupposes the retention of the mind as the instrument for following it and cannot be followed without the mind. The ego may take different and more subtle forms at different stages of one's practice, but it is never destroyed. The attempt to destroy the ego or the mind by methods other than self-inquiry is like a thief turning policeman to catch a thief that is himself. Self-inquiry alone can reveal the truth that neither the ego nor the mind really exists and enables one to realize the pure, undifferentiated being of the self or the absolute. And that is actually taken from The Path of Self-Inquiry by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And actually, I'd like to now give a special thanks to those ET Yoga listeners that do take the time to email me and provide suggestions regarding program content, and also sharing some of the successes that they've had with ideas, concepts, practices, techniques that they've heard on ET Yoga. And nothing makes my week more than to hear about those successes. And you can always email me at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I'm most eager to answer questions concerning anything that's connected to subject matter that I bring up on the program. And that's definitely free of charge, as well as at my website at etyoga.com. You will find a free download there about the root cause of disease and there's no strings attached, and I think you'll find that it directly addresses that concept of the root cause of disease. And I might also add that my latest book, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, or The True Nature of Reality, is also available at the site. $9.95. If you like ET Yoga, pretty sure you'll like the book. It's jam-packed with information, and it's kind of like 10 books in one. That's about how much information has been jammed in there, and it also links you to other sites and on the internet. So appreciate your support for ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET Yoga, you should also be aware that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and pharmaceutical as much as humanly possible in an effort to create your own self-sufficiency, sovereignty, and be the person that takes charge of creating your own excellent health and also in dealing with issues as they arise. So do I applaud your efforts, because I realize that it's a challenge. And when I was looking for ideas for tonight's program, actually saw an article in Scientific American. It's a magazine that really I haven't seen for years and years, but way back when, in college days, I used to pick up the old Scientific American. And the title of the article that grabbed my attention was, "What Does It Feel Like to Become Enlightened?" Well, that's kind of a mouthful, so I couldn't wait to read that article. Don't mind telling you that I was a little bit surprised at the attempt there. First off, how could anybody tell you how something else is going to feel, especially when that particular realization is certainly beyond the words to explain it? And I might also add that way back in the old days, when people used to talk about self-search or the search for self-realization, it was kind of a common term in those days. Although I think it's fair to say that there's this fair segment of the population who's not ready to hear about that topic. And that's cool, too, because we've all been through that stage before. So, but for those who were ready to explore the concept, then it becomes the kind of a situation where once you know about your higher self, or once you have that first initial realization that there are higher levels of consciousness and you have the ability to attain them, then how can you forget that you know that? Well, you can't. So you are now sucked into playing the game of self-realization. And I might add that maybe the author of that particular article, who knows, maybe he'd be an ET Yoga listener. And if he is, then I wanted to share with him some notes I took when I had my first experience of realizing my true self. And this is what I wrote. First, there is a God. God has no name, no form, nor shape, yet all shapes. God exists beyond time and space, and yet in it. God has no beginning and no end. It just is. It is eternal life and infinite love. Time and space exist in the mind of man. No man can understand the infinite with a finite mind. The infinite can never become finite. But when the mind is completely still, man's mind can merge and experiences self-realization. A man's mind can only relate this experience according to his own capacity. For example, if you take a cup to the ocean, it will take the shape of the cup. Similarly, if you take a mind to the infinite, it will take the shape of the mind. Actually, there's only one God, but it takes the shape of each individual mind. For my mind, it is like we're all thoughts in the mind of God. It's impossible to describe exactly what it is like. Ram Dass would say that what we would most like to talk about, there aren't any words for. It can only be experienced. Reincarnation and karma are fact. What we carry over from lifetime to lifetime is our level of consciousness and our karma, which is the good and negative attachments we have accumulated. As you sow, so shall you reap is exactly true. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This is a scientific fact. It is also a fact with our thoughts and actions. The universe has three phases: active, passive, and neutral. In the beginning, there is a void or neutral state. This energy becomes activated by an internal polarization causing creation, the sound humming. In this active state, there is no exact description, as again, it takes the shape of the mind. To me, it is similar to God wanting to know himself. Then there is the knowing, then just being. From God's standpoint, creation and its devolution are in a twinkling of an eye. From the highest levels, it's all illusion, and higher yet, it just is. The energy was never created, nor can it end. Similar to doing something during the day, sitting and being aware, and then going to sleep. Rising with I am, the thought I, is the first to appear and the last to disappear. The mind is like a woven cloth. When you pull out all the threads, there's nothing there. Yet the real you still is. Like a big eye and a little eye. When the little eye shuts up, the big eye kicks in. It's very difficult to explain, but you don't lose your individuality. When your thoughts stop, you don't fall through your mind into a deep pit. You still have awareness, and the energy levels are enormous. The bliss makes any physical feeling trivial. The closest approximation would be sex. It is like a glimpse of a larger unity with corresponding feeling. Every person has the potential to experience this unity. Unlike traditional Western theology, which in many cases tries to make it sound like Christ was the only Son of God, and when you die there is a judgment, and you go to heaven or hell, the real point should be to attain a unity with Christ consciousness while living. That's the purpose of being here. Also, many others have attained this level of consciousness. And those were notes that I took after my first experience. So if the guys that were interested in that writing that article from Scientific American, if you happen to know of any of those people, you might want to tell them to check out the archives for tonight's program, because the December 2nd archives will be up in a few days, and you can find them by going to BBS Radio, and they're for free, or you can go to my website at etyoga.com, and on the main page, if you want to do a little bit of searching, you can find out how to just access them right there, or you can actually find a button there that says Radio Archives, and just hit that one button, and it'll take you to the archive list. So, a nice service provided by BBS Radio. I might add that this whole concept of full consciousness relates to this whole idea of self-realization. I call it consciousness completion. So that's just a term that I use, because wherever you are when you have the first experience, to me there's a gap between where you normally are and the level that you just experienced. Now, for Sri Ramana Maharshi, he was such a ripe soul that when he experienced that level, he stayed at that level. but that's very rare. For most people, they have the experience, and then they're on a self-search or a self-realization or a spiritual journey or whatever label you want to use, because you want to expand your consciousness to eventually attain that level that you became aware of. And thus, we have spiritual teachers that do help us. I once asked Sri Swami Sachidananda if a person actually needed a guru. And he says, well, you don't really need a guru, but he says, if you're looking for an address in New York City and somebody already knows the way, sometimes they can cut your time down. So that was, I thought, kind of a nice comment to make. Another way to look at this whole process is from a story called The Game of Life, or Creating Your Own Reality. You imagine you're about to participate in an interactive role-playing game, and there are rules in this game that everybody agrees to. What goes up must come down. Day is followed by night, and if you touch a flame, it will burn you, etc., etc. You get to choose the character you play beforehand. Shall I be white or black or Australian or American, male or female? You might even choose to meet up with others in the game, which is tricky because you won't necessarily remember them when you see them. To enter the game, you must be born and become completely helpless. You must forget everything you know and start all over again. You're given sets of rules by the older players, which you learn as you go along. And after a given time, you are declared an adult by the other players, and you set out on your own. The thing is, after a while, you become involved so completely, immersed in the personality of the character that you're playing in this game, that you forget who you really are. You forget that you're even in a game, and you begin to believe that the game is all there is. Now, you still get to decide everything that happens to your character, which you do constantly, but as a player who has now totally identified with the character you have chosen to portray, we begin to believe not everything that transpires is happening by chance or fate. And when the character you play goes to sleep, you return to your real self. This is also your opportunity to plan ahead and manifest the character's desires and wishes. When the character later awakens, it is within the belief that he or she was simply dreaming. Now, some players, realizing that there has to be more than just this game, will start searching for answers. Some conclude that someone must have invented this game and probably all the players in it. They begin to worship this mysterious someone who obviously must be much smarter than they are, and invent more rules that they insist were made by the original game creator. The only way to leave the game is called dying, and once this transpires, you remember who you really are, and you rejoin friends, some of whom were in this game with you. You may also interact with some who were involved with other games and share your experiences. The game, you conclude, was fun, adventurous, and a great learning experience, and you decide to play again, but this time in a different setting. And that's kind of called the game of life. And a lot of truth in that particular piece of information. I might also add that when we start talking about this concept of self-realization, there's lots of different ways that you can come to conclusions about this subject. And I like to share now a statement that was made by Muji. And if you're not familiar with Muji, M-O-O-J-I, really highly suggest you check him out. He's got lots of YouTubes out there. And his take on this is that every sentient being is naturally conscious of its existence. And everyone knows and refers to themselves as I am. And when we say I am, it points to consciousness, to sentience. I am is way we talk about self-knowledge. However, consciousness, due to the conditioning it has received, started identifying with the instrument through which it can taste its existence. Hence, the idea, I am only the body and personality, was born. It is a severe limitation upon one's being and the chief cause of suffering in this world. But each one has the potential inside themselves to discover their innermost freedom and escape this delusion. On a deeper level, this is really what motivates our existence. And this restlessness is actually a search for lasting satisfaction. As persons, we are compelled for a while to search for fulfillment in the fleeting objects of this world, which are time-bound. But that essential itch is only alleviated once and for all when our personal identity is merged with our timeless being. And that is from Muji. And thus, when we start talking about this whole concept of full consciousness, I kind of also think of it in terms of DNA and chakras. So to me, someone that would be fully realized or enlightened would have not only activating all 12 chakras, they would all be fully activated, and also all 12 strands of DNA would be fully activated. And I could point the listening audience to Solara on Ra. That's she channels Pleiadian information, and she got some wonderful YouTubes concerning specifically that, intending to activate and reconnect your 12-strand DNA with your 12 chakras. Highly recommend her videos. And the other aspect that I like to mention with respect to full consciousness is the whole idea that what we know about the universe is that it's holographic and as well fractal. And according to even science now, and I would quote from Greg Braden, that the universe basically is all about consciousness, and that like a reality, virtual reality computer program, in many ways it's like that, and each computer program has its language of interpretation, and the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. So what you believe is. So, and I think that's a real key point here when we're talking about the whole concept of a spiritual journey. And also, I think another really fascinating aspect of this universe is information that comes from Metatron, and that is that multidimensionality and flashing a universe, because we've never been really taught that the universe flashes in and out of existence. And Metatron would say that lifetimes, in your terms, are not linear. Rather, they coexist in the quantum field of the eternal now moment. The universe as you know it flashes in and out of existence in a pulsing sequence of light energy frames that consist of what we call consciousness units. The process of God source seeding the matrix of awareness through pixels of minute particulates involves what we call the term flashing units of consciousness, electromagnetic units that can and do pulse in and out of all realities in a strobe light fashion. These flashing energy units are geometric in nature and occur with a relatively short lifespan. Your scientists postulate that black holes are imploded supernovas of extremely compressed energy whose gravitational field is so immense that it pulls itself into all matter and light. Yet they do not as yet recognize that at the back of the black hole, in a manner of speaking, is a white hole that generates new vitalized energy into the universe. As such, there is a constant surge of new energy into your universe, which comes through a nearly infinitesimal number of white holes, and the supernovas of energy in and energy out creates a flashing effect within the consciousness and time sequence of your reality, and your oversoul is calibrated within the flashing sequence. So I think this is really an important factor that many people are not aware of, that in point of fact, the universe flashes in and out of existence, which also means that your physical body flashes in and out of existence. It just does so quickly that it's not obvious to the eye or our perception. This also gives rise to the fact that our bodies are projections of our consciousness. And further, I thought a really fascinating point was made by Barbara Marciniak channeling Pleiadian information, where she mentions that it's in between the flashing in and out of existence of the universe where thought exists. But that was very key. And if you ponder that one for a while, I think you can come up with putting some very interesting dots together. And so this whole concept about full consciousness, to me, I think, giving you a little bit about what ET Yoga spin up is about full consciousness. And with respect to the health situation, I've shared this a few times, and it bears repeating, because it's called the Great American Rat Experiment. And in group one is fed a diet of raw fruits, vegetables, nuts, and whole grains. And beginning at birth, this group grows into healthy, affectionate, disease-free adults. And group two is fed the equivalent of the standard American diet with meat, milk, candy, lots of fats, pastas, and breads. And this group grows into vicious, nervous, cruel, disease-ridden adults. And they suffer from cancers, heart disease, and a host of other illnesses. Now, a third group is also fed the standard American diet, but this group suffers the same diseases and displays the same temper as the second group. But here's the amazing part. After the equivalent of 40 human years, the third group is switched to a diet of raw fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and nuts, and they turn into healthy, happy, disease-free specimens within 1 month. And that's the Great American Rat Experiment. And I might also note that on the May 20th and June 3rd broadcast of ET Yoga, I focused those two shows basically to try to pull together the main points that I've learned in this lifetime with respect to health and into maintaining creating and maintaining excellent health. So I suggest if you're really interested in this subject to check out the May 20th and June 3rd archives broadcast of ET Yoga. And, of course, at the foundation here, I kind of borrow a good bit of philosophy from Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R, and he's at bashar.org. And he's Daryl Anka channels Bashar, and actually had the privilege of being on a panel with Daryl. And when we came up with the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act, and I was very pleased to be a part of that group. And Bashar has stated that there are six fundamental things that you can do to create excellent health, and that the body itself is capable of curing 99.9% of all disease issues if these are followed, as well as providing the body with the proper nutrients. And he also actually had suggested the American Botanical Pharmacy in California, that's Dr. Schultz, and his product called Superfood, because Superfood contains all the nutrients that your body needs. And the other things were providing your body with pure water, oxygenation, and an ideal way to do that would be at yoga pranayams, exercise, elimination of stress, detoxing, and lightening up the diet or getting off meat. Those fundamental ideas are the basis of excellent health. And I personally like to throw in a seventh one, which is get plenty of sunlight, because we get vitamin D from sunlight, and vitamin D is the trigger to the immune system. So to me, this is the fundamental basis. Now, from this fundamental basis, you can then expand out into some other areas that I find, or what I call super health categories. And in creating super health, then I would suggest person to look into sun gazing, and that would be through YouTube videos by Hira Ratan Manek, M-A-N-E-K. I think he's the leading authority on this subject, and highly would recommend sun gazing, because to my way of thinking and to the research that's been out there, pretty much if you, it takes time to work yourself up to the amount of minutes that's required to be totally free of disease issues. But it is one way that for no cost whatsoever, you can basically cure yourself of pretty much anything. And it also activates dormant areas of the brain. So, you know, we've been always taught to, you know, be scared of the sun. But even though I haven't been a practitioner for a long time, I am working up to the minutes levels and of sun gazing, and I'm very comfortable with it, and highly, highly recommend it, as long as it's done safely, as Hira Ratan Manek describes in his videos. Another area that I would highly recommend is Qigong healing sounds. And Master Ming Tong Gu, that's G-U, was actually one of the practitioners at the first medicineless hospital in Beijing, China. And he has some programs online. You can actually pick these programs up. And to me, the Qigong is just so far ahead of Western science that it's not even funny. I mean, we're talking about activating our systems, energy systems, and it's, well, the facts were proven. They dealt with like 250,000 people over 10 years at this Beijing Qigong Center with like an 85% cure rate, and they did the same thing with everybody. They basically did the Qigong physical movements and the Qigong healing sounds, and they got the results, and with zero operations and no pharmaceutical drugs. So cat's out of the bag on that. I mean, it can be done, was done, proven, documented. So want to pass that on to people with respect to creating excellent health. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't kind of include that, you know, some information that Children of the Sun, in their I Am Avatar yoga program, and just to let you know, it's, you know, all of us aren't just, you know, whistling in the wind out there. There's people in here that are trying to manifest some very amazing things, such as affirming that you speak to the codes of your own DNA, and that's also been shown by Russian scientists to be a fact now, that your DNA actually understands language. That in some of the meditations of Children of the Sun, they're talking about activating the original DNA blueprint in your body, which is also similar to some of the information that came from Archangel Michael. And some of these meditations are about energy transference and desiring to that your body understands the spin of the electron, because the spin of the electron is associated with some amazing superhuman abilities, such as shapes shifting and bilocation. And they are also meditating to attract the ability to do instantaneous healing and full restoration of cellular memory. So this is from Children of the Sun, I Am Avatar Yoga Programs, and they have some amazing meditations as well. And one of the things that I'm finding that's coming up that to me is a little bit concerning is this addiction that the population has with the technology. And I know that the Pleiadians that are channeling through Barbara Marciniak have really, they're just basically shocked by this fact that we're giving all this technology to our kids. Our kids are becoming addicted. This whole area about artificial intelligence and the whole areas about the new technology, I mean, it's taking a fair amount of our population down a dead-end road. And I might add that there's also more and more people that are waking up to the fact of a spiritual life and a spiritual journey. And seems obvious to me that in time there definitely will be an event or a timeline split, because these two totally antithetical vibrations cannot exist in the same space. And even from back in the days of Bringers of the Dawn, the Pleiadians said that we recommend strongly you get rid of your television sets. They're the primary tool used to manipulate your consciousness on a day-to-day basis. And this experiment is so finely tuned that you respond subliminally to disease via the television. So there's an entire generation that is killing itself by watching television and supporting the medical society while they're doing it. Sometimes liberating information is broadcast, perhaps even a New Age show. However you may watch such a television show about how uplifted and unlimited you can be, while subliminally you are being hit with a frequency that keeps you from original thinking. This subliminal keeps you immobilized and holds you in a survive, arrive, be on time, be silent, go to work society. Television also promotes inactivity and a sedentary, obese life. Look around you. Wake up, humans. Most of the subliminals on television are done through technology that was developed in conjunction with off-planetary beings. The use of subliminals to upset human consciousness has become a worldwide program. And if you think about the houses that have 2, 3, and 4 televisions in them, you must agree that this has been a very successful marketing program. Some people who know about the subliminals on television feel they are immune to them. However, the effects of television are so permeating that no matter how clear you say you're going to be, you cannot counterbalance what the technology is presently doing to your vibrational frequency. As a matter of fact, if you really want to evolve, do not read your newspapers, do not listen to the radio, do not watch television, and if you're able to be media-free for periods of time, and you disengage yourself from the frequency of chaos and anxiety and stress and hustle-bustle and temptations of all kinds that you don't need, you begin to get clear, and you begin to listen to what's going on inside of yourself and to live in the world and not necessarily be lost in it. You become clear. We cannot emphasize this enough. Electronics also jam your frequency. Plus, as we have said, many of them are designed to create static so that you will always stay at a certain vibratory rate, turning you into safe, harmless, inactive cattle. So this is information coming directly from the Palladians, and that was way back in, like, I don't know, 1972 or so. And they're still saying it today. They've got a word for the what we call Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi. They call it Wi-Fi. So that's their take on it. And I'd also highly recommend the lifestyle of the Essenes. In fact, when it's talk about creating perfect health, even the Amish. Basically, they're not involved with technology. They don't take immunization shots. They don't even have electricity. These people, they don't have what the mainstream population has, which is things like autism are almost totally unheard of, cancer, heart disease. I mean, these things don't exist among the Amish. I mean, it's all about... A lot of it's all about diet. And if really actually looking way back in history to the Essenes also were very smart with respect to technologies. And although they had some outer technologies given to them, they didn't know how they were made or how to fix them, so they didn't become attached or too dependent on them. Why? Because they knew that their inner technology within the human form was far superior to any gadget or invention, whether it's a self-driving car, a rocket to Mars, or a quantum computer. So that's the advice that comes from the Essenes. Now, I also want to touch upon the concept of abundance, and I don't know anybody better to talk about that than Bashar again. Because he states that, first of all, excitement tells you it's you. Two, it tells you that because it's you, it will be an effortless creation. And three, it tells you that because it is you and will be an effortless creation, you will be able to attract the abundance you need in whatever form you need it. And understand that abundance is more than just money. Money on your planet is one of the valid ways to represent abundance, but it is not the only tool and is not always the shortest and quickest route. Abundance will always express itself along the path of least resistance, just like electricity. When you broaden your definition of what you think abundance is, then you will allow all the different ways it could come to you to come to you. And now let us add one more definition. Definition of abundance. The ability to do what you need and want to do when you want to do it, period. I'm going to repeat that. Abundance. The ability to do what you need and want to do when you want to do it, period. That is all abundance is. If it comes in a number of different ways, what do you care? As long as you still have the ability to do what you want when you want to do it. Keep in mind that abundance is a general idea, whereas money is a tool. Now, we know that abundance is a big issue on your planet. All right, now you're all abundant. You all deserve abundance, unlimited amounts of what you want, at least as far as we're concerned. So here's just one brief example. Rearrange this idea and apply it to you if necessary. Because of the way many of you have been functioning, often you see by example that certain individuals on your planet who are physically abundant are in your eyes morally or spiritually bankrupt. This may create a type of impression on you that causes you, without your consciously realizing it, to automatically equate abundance with moral bankruptcy. You say to yourself in internal dialogue, which is perhaps not as loud as you would like it to be, but if I become abundant, that means I must also become morally bankrupt, and I don't want the moral bankruptcy, therefore I'll keep myself from being abundant. When you examine your beliefs about abundance, if you find you have that kind of belief, you can say, wait a minute, I realize that more often than not, when I think of a rich person, I think of someone who is, to use your phrase, a scum. You may realize right then and there that you have built up out of a different belief components one particular belief structure. You're saying with that belief structure, everyone who becomes abundant becomes a scum. I don't want to have that belief anymore. You can say, that's the definition I had, but I will now disassemble those components. Being abundant does not have to be attached to the idea of being morally bankrupt. So what are the components? What are the ideas that I would prefer? And I think that basically what he's saying here is that we need to examine our own beliefs around the idea of having abundance. And also might add that Adranus had some wise words to say about abundance, and that was that if you kind of come, you know, everybody seems to want to hit the lottery, to win $400 million or something. But if you really think about it, it could be more of a curse than a blessing. And also, if you think about it a little bit, like we're kind of fragmented off from our higher selves, and we're probably having multiple incarnations. Most of us are having multiple incarnations. And we all have certain soul lessons that we're learning. And if too much money would, you know, interfere with you achieving or learning what you're here for, then it's not going to happen. As Swami Satchidananda would say, plan pending God's approval. Or as Bashar would say, you always get what you want, but it's about the timing. And sometimes your higher self wants to rearrange circumstances so that you're more appreciative, and this sometimes super affluence comes at a time when it's most optimum. So I thought I'd pass that on as well with this whole concept of abundance, because I know all of a sudden in this planet everything has become about the money. I'd like to now take this opportunity to wish everybody that's a listener to ET Yoga my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and all those according to the definitions that I've kind of outlined on tonight's program, which is all about full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'd now like to close by sharing with you the Who Am I technique. And that was from Sri Ramana Maharshi. And basically, you put your full consciousness in your third eye or Ajna center and become that spot. And when you become that spot, you then ask the question, who am I? And you can do that in whatever way seems most comfortable. You can do it a lot or a little bit or like a mantra or a few times, or if you're just totally focused, like some people used to be in the old days, even at a party, sometimes they could be really focused. And my suggestion is maybe do your hatha yoga, your pranayams, a good meditation, and whatever means you can do to be in the highest place you know how to be, and then do this technique. And when you have your total consciousness focused in the center, and you're asking the question, "Who am I?" and then state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.